there's not a Sabbath keeping command. Of course, and it sounded like he's going to be teaching at least one more, maybe a couple more weeks on this. So I think where he's going is that, you know, Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. So that's where I think it could be tricky to say, do Christians keep the Sabbath? Well, Sabbath rest is fulfilled in Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 4. So I think he'll get there. What are some of the arguments, or what are some of the things that make us think that we should be keeping the Sabbath? And maybe some people in here do still believe that we should keep the Sabbath, and you know, it's a good discussion to have. It's certainly not an issue that should divide us as believers, you know, and say, oh, you know, you're not a Christian if you believe that, you know, you should be keeping the Sabbath in that sense. I think Romans 14 tells us that there's room for disagreement, and that it's important that if your conscience is telling you that you need to rest on this day, then you don't go against your conscience in that sense. But what are some of the things, whether you believe what Bob was, or you agree with Bob or not, that might make you think, well, I think we should keep the Sabbath.
Somewhat deal with this on a practical level. It appears that most of the people that I've talked to through the years is it's usually the day you meet on. That's as far as it goes. Now, some do take a little further. They add the concept of it needs to be a day of rest. And we know all the passages that they use to support that. But that's not all there is. There's a lot more to it. So it appears that they've done one of two things, that they're really ignorant of what it calls for to obey the Sabbath, or they've just totally translated it into two things, rest and the day you meet on. Those, to me, are the issues or the talking points, so we'll call it that, as yeah. Having a discussion about the Sabbath. Most of them don't even know that the Sabbath is actually a Saturday. They just decided that it's a day of rest, regardless of when that is.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that most of them don't know that, but you know, it might appear that way.
I agree with Brother Bob, but I think a reason to keep it, like if you're going by feeling and what you think, is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I think there should be a day set aside to focus on the Lord. And every day we should focus on the Lord and live for Him and all of that. But this is a day out of the week. We work all of those. We do family. We do everything. But Sunday, set it aside and just don't let all these worldly things in. Let it be a restful day, which is for our own good, but also give Him something.
Yeah. So I think I may have heard two things there. One, you quoted, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, Ten Commandments. Is that, or are you saying more? It's more practical?
It's more practical. Yeah. I see the practical.
Okay, that's what I was thinking you were going with.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's practicality to, you know, there's wisdom to taking some time, reflecting, not burning the candle at both ends in one sense with your work, and of course not forgetting the Lord, and you know, having that time set aside. So that's good. Then, so the other side would be, I mean, one of the things that I wrote down as I was thinking through these questions is, it's in the Ten Commandments. I mean, the story that I told, it's kind of hard for Christians, is like, okay, we, you know, the Ten Commandments, I think I've seen the Ten Commandments in one of our Sunday school rooms, you know, like we grow up learning these, and then, okay, so this one commandment is one that we're not supposed to keep. That's a challenge. I think that's a reason why a lot of people think that we should keep the Sabbath. What are some others?
One of the things that Bob brought up, I heard recently from another person, as we discussed this very thing, and that was you know, when you go all the way back to Genesis and we have God resting on the Sabbath, there was an argument made to me that we are made physically in such a way to work off of a 7-day work week. Most cultures, even non-Christian cultures, work off this 7-day concept. And you don't get that from anywhere. You know, the reason that the years are 365 days is because that's what a year is. And the reason we have 30-day months is because that's what a month is. But there's no marker in any celestial way that marks this 7-day week. So his argument was we are imputed somehow, programmed in our very nature of what we are, to work off this 7-day week. And he was pointing to that as one of the markers of plus the Genesis passage. To take idea of Sabbath more than just from the law, more than just from a part of the Old Covenant, and move that all the way back to creation week and saying it's a creation week principle that carries forward even to today. So that's one of those arguments for that. And I think that is a strong argument. I think that's a good argument, but it's still an argument that doesn't find itself articulated in the New Testament. it's just not there. Jesus is this new covenant mediator. So if we're going to have expectations placed on us, it's got to be through this New Testament mediator. And that argument doesn't meet a New Testament command. So it is one that I've had to think through. I've had to think through that one as much as anything. And one of the things I love about Hebrews 8:13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And I know the deal about proof texting, but man, that is strong proof text, you know. And that teaching is not taking anything out of context from the book of Hebrews. It's explaining why Jesus is this mediator of this new covenant, and all that the new covenant is. So we call our New Testaments New Testaments, but we could just as easily call our New Testaments New Covenants. It'd be the same terminology. And I think that kind of hides the covenant aspect that we as Christians need to be about. And the new covenant aspect is our New Testament. What do we find there? What do we instruct? How are we instructed there? And I see, like, Romans 14 and these other passages that tell us don't let somebody
pass judgment
on you in a holy day or a Sabbath. That word's used. And Romans 14 is one portion. Colossians, I think.
Colossians 2
is the portion where it says, "Don't let anybody judge him in those areas." But I would like to hear Bob articulate a little bit more about the Colossians 2 passage. I want to see if that's—I don't know if when it says a Sabbath there, if it means the Sabbath or if it's just talking about other Sabbaths that they had, days of rest.
Sabbath, so that leaves some wiggle room, I guess. Yeah, and I don't think he didn't get to that passage, did he?
I haven't, not when I was studying in class.
Yeah.
So what? Anyway, I guess all I'm saying is there was that other argument, but Bob yet dealt with that, saying there's still not a command in that Genesis passage. It says that God rested, made it holy, but there's still not, and then we don't have anything from Genesis 2. The giving of the law that repeats any type of command to us. So,
yeah, that's good. What are some other things that come to mind? Reasons that we might think, yeah, I think Christians should keep the Sabbath.
It just seems like a holy thing to do.
I guess one of the passages, thinkings within that context that might give us a little bit of clues to what we're really talking about. Passage that comes to the mind is the one we talked about. Do not give up meeting together. That's a command.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay, what's the context of that? The context of that is we don't do what we want to call it. We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't meet in the home together. What's the concept there? So the concept is that we still should spend time with one another.
Yep.
Now, how? Well, then you got other passages to talk about, like Paul has alluded to that. That's when the first century churches got together. They got together on the first day of the week. That's when the Lord rose. So there are indicators of how we should live our lives under the covenant rule. So I think there's ways to defend the idea of still spending time together. And then you've got passages that talk about how a church is set up, what it's supposed to do, what it's supposed to be involved with. You've got another command that talks about loving one another. You put all this together, you've got some kind of a concept that tells you you need to be meeting together. There needs to be structure involved, what that means, etc. So I don't see that the things we've talked about are something that's totally different than what we do. We meet most of those standards, not all, just the ones, I guess you could say, I like Bob's language, which is, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade in the New Testament as to how we are to conduct ourselves and our passions, what they should be about those kinds of things. And never calls it keeping us out. So there's all kinds of indicators to how we should conduct ourselves as Christians. Even on a set-apart day.
That's good. Stephen, do you know anything about maybe how the church or Christians would have acted right after the resurrection, where you have this change in the Sabbath to the Lord's Day is just when we meet, but you're still living in a Jewish culture that takes Saturday off. So you're looking at Sunday as the first day of the work week. So you're like, if we're meeting together, 7 a.m., we have church, 8 o'clock, everybody go to work. So you have this dichotomy of the society that we live in is still kind of staked in the ground in one way. And yet this sect, the way, or whatever they're called at that point, almost pre-Christians, what might be called, is starting to veer off, but they're still living in this Jewish society. And how that's being, in a sense, we're kind of in the same boat, I guess, a little bit. Another ways to look at it, too, is I work in healthcare. We don't stop. We stop work and people start dying. You know, and we have people that work Sunday. I mean, I had worked Sundays different parts of my career. It's just a lot of different ways to look at it and go, how do I make this work with what I believe or what I think I believe at the time? But there's a lot of different things to think about how through the centuries that Christians tried to make this thing work or I don't know. That's not really a question necessarily, but just a lot of different ways it's been done.
Yeah, that's a good, a really good point about Christians. Majority would have had to have worked on Sunday. And it seems like, you know, you see some evidence of there being work done on Sunday because of, like, 1 Corinthians, the situation where they're having the Lord's Supper. Some people get off earlier than others, and then, you know, they take the Lord's Supper. They don't even wait for the people who get off later, you know, maybe slaves. I think that's a really good point. I don't think it was just the Jewish work week. I think even the Roman work week was different. in our society, as was talked about last week, our society is almost structured for Sunday to be a day of rest if we wanted it to, in many ways. I mean, you're an exception, but most places of business are letting their people off Saturday and Sunday. And so we can we don't have to really think much about that kind of situation. Whereas for you, you might have to say, well, if I believe this, I need to find another line of work because they're going to call me. There's going to be something that happens,
yeah.
And I'm going to have to be there or at least answer the phone.
Yeah.
Those are great. I think Paul brought up probably for me the strongest argument for the Sabbath being something that continues, and that is Genesis 2. And when we talk about capital punishment, oftentimes we go back to Noah. We go back to, if a man sheds someone's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. I probably just butchered that. No pun intended. But we go back to this principle that is outside of the covenant with Moses that says, okay, there is a situation where we would put somebody to death because they killed someone who is made in the image of God. And that's not a command that's repeated in the New Testament. And of course, I'm sure a lot of people would think that, you know, we get the death penalty strictly from the laws in the Old Covenant, Leviticus and such. And so they would say, well, why would you stop at murder? Why wouldn't it be for homosexuality or adultery and those kind of things? So we can point to something that's outside of the covenant. Similarly, I think it's a reasonable argument if you see Sabbath in Genesis 2, it's a reasonable argument to say that that would be outside of that covenantal structure with Moses. And so it would continue even today. There's an author named G.K. Beale. I have a lot of respect for him. And he talks about how if you stop keeping the Sabbath now, then you basically have what he calls it an over-realized eschatology. Basically, you're trying to have heaven now by doing that. That's something that will end at that point. But right now, you should be keeping it. So what are some things that we might say about that? How would we evaluate that argument about Genesis 2, where it does say that the Lord rested on the seventh day, and it's what Moses points back to whenever it's in, or I guess the Lord points back to in Exodus for the reason why they would keep the Sabbath. So how would we evaluate that? I think one thing we could consider is, was the Sabbath kept between Adam, the first man, and Moses, where it becomes a codified command? And I think you guys talked about that as well. Are there examples of people keeping the Sabbath in that time? That's actually recorded. We don't know what's not recorded.
I don't think there are. Are there?
Yeah, I don't know of any examples. I don't think. And what I've always looked back to is Exodus 16, where it's actually an interesting passage because it could be used for either side in some ways. But the people knew what the Sabbath was at that point, and of course it's not long before you have the Ten Commandments, where it is specifically laid out. You will do this, and the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath was to be put to death. So it was much more serious than when Moses is admonishing the people, you need to keep the Sabbath at this point. So that seems to be the first reference that I'm aware of. Somebody could bring that up. And then, of course, Nehemiah says that the Sabbath came in through Moses. Any other thoughts on that?
So was the Sabbath at that point just not working? I mean, there's no organized religion. And then coming out of Moses, I mean, I'm talking your nation's in slavery. I mean, I'm guessing they're working 7 days a week.
Yes, at that point, yeah.
You know, and so it's going to be something completely different than generations have ever known. I mean, there's probably nobody alive who remembered what it was like when there was a Sabbath. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an argument that you'd say, well, it was lost, during this period of time. And that would be reasonable. I know some people have pointed to where It says Abraham kept all the Lord's commands and or commandments, and so that would be saying, well, you know, the Lord's commandments would never have changed. So obviously, Abraham knew the Ten Commandments and he kept those. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, you know, just in my view. I think what that is saying is that Abraham obeyed everything that the Lord told him to do. I don't think it necessarily means that, but that would be an argument. And then you could say, well, it was kept and then it was lost. And so when Exodus 16 comes around, Moses is like, we're going to start doing this again. But then you brought up the nature of the Sabbath. That's an interesting point. The nature of the Sabbath in the Old Covenant is primarily focused on what?
Rest.
Rest. Not working. And you have allowances for religious activities. It was allowed, but it wasn't the focus of the Sabbath. What is the focus of the Sabbath? If we were to say, as a church, we're going to keep the Sabbath in the way that another Reformed Baptist church would say, what would our focus be on? Rest would be a part of it, but what's the primary? Martin brought it up.
Gathering.
Worship. So it does seem as if there's a little bit of a shift in the focus. Someone could call that an upgrade. But I don't see where that shift is specifically commanded about Sabbath. And so that's another thing to think about. The nature of the command seems to change. And of course, you know, Bob brought up, you know, all of the, you know, you wouldn't have your servants, you know, you wouldn't have someone working for you on the Sabbath. So you wouldn't go out to eat and all those kind of things. And so I think it's very clear that a person, a Presbyterian or a Reformed Baptist would say, that we don't keep the Sabbath in the same way, but we do rest, and, you know, we take those principles of rest and worship, and maybe we don't do certain things that we would otherwise do, which you would still have to say there's a shift in the nature of the Sabbath at that point. So, as my notes disappear here on my iPad.
If we just look at the practical and say, well, we don't observe the Sabbath, so it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Well, it's okay if we work on Sundays, and if everybody just starts doing that, then we lose our church. The men are out working on Sundays, and who's available to go to church anymore?
Well, there is a command in the New Testament not to forsake the assembly.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. So let's get to some of the practical stuff. We've got a few minutes. I had a couple examples I wanted to bring up. I think probably others have examples. Let me start with this one, because it always comes to my mind during this discussion. Okay. So Chick-fil-A, my favorite restaurant, or one of them, probably not my absolute favorite, but it's a go-to for sure. Closed on Sundays. All right. What's the deal? Can we bring the Kathy brothers into this class? And so let's say you're starting a business. Martin, you're a business owner. I would say your industry, there are some people who are open on Sundays. Majority, though, it's the practice not to be open on Sundays. So you don't have to deal with this question as much. But let's say you're opening a restaurant, a fast food restaurant like Chick-fil-A, and you have to work through this situation. Should I be closed on Sundays? How do you think through that?
I would think through priorities. My priority is to be at church on Sunday. My business is a second priority. Secondary, not second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And even if you, as the owner, say, okay, well, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday, but my business will stay open, I think that's not great either, because you're forcing your employees who may or may not go to church to have to work during the cultural time for worship.
Well, yes. Living in a non-Christian society, a non-Christian, on the other hand, Natalie, might say this. If I don't work on Sunday, you're still in my hours. I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. That's the other side of the coin I have actually heard.
Yeah.
You're keeping me because of your religious beliefs, you are cutting back on my wages.
Wow.
That's the other side of the coin.
I hadn't thought about that. Martin, you had something?
Yeah, I think the question you asked was, you stated Chick-fil-A, brought me up as another one. I think that those of us that are Christians, and I mean hardcore, and we run businesses, I thought that we're supposed to, as much as we possibly can, exude the very principles that we believe in. If we do, then do we not set the standard in our own places of work by which that happens? I can give you all kinds of things. One of them is, what about beyond time? Is that required? Most places it is. You get paid to be here. How can you not be here? Well, that's a biblical standard. But your yes is yes, and you know, if you agree to be here, we'll be here. How about others? Others where the type of language that you use in places, I mean, is that acceptable? I mean, there's all kinds of things that we as Christian owners can do that exude and people understand that this is not a normal business place. And they figure that out in time based on the standards. The employees know for sure. So are we not responsible for that? Should we not be that standard setter? I can also say that, yeah, there are Christians that do have businesses that don't require those types of things. And I don't know that that violates any biblical principle. But I like the one you brought up because I happen to have the same view, which is govern your place of work in a Christian manner. I'm always giving the benefit of the doubt. I run into those problems from time to time, too. That Christian principles, that's what we're supposed to be all about. Those can be taught anywhere, either through action or through words. And that is one of the questions I do ask. When I don't think you're supposed to, but when I interview people, I do ask whether they have churches that they attend on Saturdays or Sundays and let them know that we're closed for that specific reason. Not that you have to, just that that's what we do here. So if we're gonna be in the world but not of it, and all those commands go with it, why wouldn't we try to run our businesses the same way?
Yeah. So in thinking through it, I wouldn't say that I have a firm like this is how a Christian should do this, and especially because there are different industries. You know, Jared is in a different situation than. Than the Kathys. But as I've thought through it, just some things that have come to mind, one, I mean, if you're able to close on Sunday, then, hey, that's a great thing to be able to do. I wouldn't say it's a requirement necessarily, but it certainly avoids a lot of the need to nuance things and make these decisions. It's like, hey, if I can do that, I can, bless people, maybe don't, I don't want to cut people's hours, but, maybe I don't need as many employees because the hours aren't stretched as far. But I'd say at a minimum, it seems like, you should have rules in place that allow for people, if they require to be off during a certain time for attending church or, I'm a proponent of religious freedom. So if there are other other types of services that a person would need to attend, I would say, let that be allowable and work with the employee on that. Certainly as a Christian, think about Sunday mornings. Okay, well, how are we going to deal with that? Maybe we should be closed on Sunday mornings, but then open later. That way, because I know that the general practice within Christianity is to worship Sunday morning. I struggle a little bit with like, okay, I'll leave Sundays to the unbelievers, you know, because it's like, well, I would hope that they would become believers, so then what do, you know? Fire them and hire some lost people. I don't know. So, yeah, but it's an interesting thing to think through. I don't think we could come away with this with a definite answer. If you don't think that Sunday is a Sabbath, then those are the kind of questions you have to work through. And you certainly, as Andrea said, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're not keeping the commands of the New Testament, the absolute known things like don't forsake the assembly of yourselves because you're not doing it on the basis of Sabbath.
But we kind of do that with that as well. Do not forsake the assembly. Well, it's okay to miss Wednesday, and if I really have something on Sunday night, it's okay, but you better be there on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's another discussion. Yeah, I don't know. How do you define?
So when I was in that situation too, we were at a church that had, I had a Saturday night service. And so if I was working days, I just go Saturday night or Sunday night. Then when I was working nights, I was available to be there in the morning. So because of the size of the church and how it was structured, it worked out for me. There was somewhere, there was always a time I'd just go to one or the other.
Yeah.
When I was available to, so. But, you know, if I was in that situation now, what would I do? It'd be different.
Yeah. That's good. Another one that was brought up last week is things like baseball, other activities. And this kind of goes along similar lines. I think it's a little bit easier, but Nancy, I thought, brought up a really good example where she said, you know, we didn't do baseball on Sundays because necessarily that meant that we would miss church because, you know, you got to drive for 2 hours to whatever the game is. So I think that is another one that kind of applies to this. And I mean, I know people who go to, you know, they do baseball, and then it's like if there's an off week in baseball, then that's when we go to church. And maybe it's not that strong, but it definitely, they miss a lot of church because of baseball. And I think that's priorities. You know, you got to work through. Okay, well, I mean, if he's gonna go and get a scholarship for baseball, then he's got to be in AAU, and AAU does Sundays. And you know, how do I work through that? And you know, that's a really hard decision, but you've got to be able to work through. Okay, what are the commands and the principles that I need to be operating under? What do I want to communicate to my children about our priorities?
Lose your soul or get a scholarship.
Right. So, yeah, just a lot of fascinating things to think about. I'm excited that we'll probably get a couple more weeks of discussing this subject. If you're not convinced, then certainly I think this is an area where we can agree to disagree, and we can continue to work through these things. If your conscience is saying, I don't need to be mowing the lawn on Sunday, then I tell you, hey, don't touch the lawn on Sunday, you know. So that's kind of where we start from, and I think that's where the New Testament works from as well. So let's